Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Just minutes after taking office, Mike Kehoe put six executive orders into effect immediately. These become state law now, and they do things like bolstering training and funding for local law enforcement.
Yeah, that's one of the reports on what happened yesterday immediately after being sworn in as governor. Mike Kehoe taking some immediate executive actions. That's good news. Some of it's on police cooperation on immigration and with the Trump administration. I thought that was a step in the right direction. I was lucky to be there yesterday. It was kind of cold outside. Went into the Capitol afterwards to warm up, but got to go see that in person. We got former Senator John Lamping on the phone this morning. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark and Kim. Nice to be with you both.
Great to have you. You've been to your share of those, right?
Yeah, it's it's nice of you to go. I think the ceremony on the steps is actually I quite like it. I heard Kim asking some questions about the ball. So the dirty little secret about the ball is that the whole state is invited. You don't need an invitation.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, and there's really not a whole lot to do other than just go into the ball itself, and there's music, and I think there's soft drinks that are available, but there's no food, there's nothing provided, and what you're obligated to then do is you go to the different offices around the Capitol, some of the different legislators or people you know, and they might provide something. The first ball I went to, my office wasn't even set up. I had folding chairs. Because it's a few days ago that new people got their offices. It's quite the event for people who live in Jefferson City, though. Like all the high school kids get dressed up like it's a prom and they go to the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something to watch. You know, I was looking at the stage yesterday, and it's a who's who of Missourians. John Ashcroft was up there, so Jay Ashcroft, the Ashcroft family, certainly represented. And the Blunts were strongly represented. Obviously, Andy Blunt seemed to be running the whole thing, and Matt Blunt was there, the former governor, and Senator Roy Blunt was sitting up there. He swore in Mike Kehoe. I mean, I think that's an important connection when you talk about the Kehoe administration. Right.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest concern I have. Like it or not, here in Missouri, there is a political machine that runs Missouri now for the better part of 20 years, and it's the Blunt family. I know you're familiar with Peter Schweitzer, the guy who wrote the book Clinton Cash, and he writes a lot about money and politics. And back in 2011, he wrote a book called Extortion, and he dedicated a chapter to the Blunt family. And this is before this happened. Andy Blunt is the man behind the scenes. He's the largest lobbyist in the state. He obviously controlled his brother and his father. And, you know, and Roy was there swearing Mike Kehoe in. And, you know, just to remind your listeners, Roy Blunt is the type of Republican that when Biden's passing bipartisan bills, Roy Blunt's one of those Republicans that's voting for him. And the family's very motivated by the moneyed interests. Roy's wife's a lobbyist. Obviously, Matt Blunt, former governor, is a lobbyist in the audio industry. And unfortunately, that's probably Mike Kehoe's best friend is Andy Blunt. They live on the same street. And it's the Blunt family that brought Kehoe into politics. They appointed him to the Missouri Highway Commission earlier than that, back in 2004 when Blunt was governor. So to the extent that your listeners are trying, hoping that Missouri's government does some dramatically different things, my biggest concern is that whatever Mike tries to do is going to have to get the approval of the Blunt family. And the Blunt family's history is one whereby, you know, their actions are consistent with what we call the swamp, the moneyed interest. And for your listeners that haven't read this chapter on this book, Extortion, I highly recommend it. It compares the Blunt family to the Reed family in Las Vegas, and neither families are written in a very positive light.
Politics is just so dirty. There's always someone working behind the scenes, and that's just a testament to it. I know Mark was playing the sound from the six executive orders that Kehoe signed yesterday that are supposed to reduce crime as part of his crime reduction plan. How big of a difference do you think those will actually make?
By themselves, not much of a difference at all. I mean, one has to ask the question, why didn't Mike Parson do this last week or last month or last year? What's going to happen is, and Mike Kehoe is going to be a much better governor than Mike Parson, but he'll be packaged and marketed to us. And he has completely embraced the idea of safety, and safety is important. But yesterday, in my mind, was a political act to signal to the public that that's what his primary focus is. And that's not new. Government's always supposed to be concerned for our safety. And, you know, you can see in places like California where that gets lost and the people suffer. That's the good news here is that Missourians are going to be more likely to be prepared for things. But if you believe, like I do, that the fundamental problem in state government is the size of government, the level of corruption, the level of money in government, those types of things are obviously not his primary focus. I know in his speech yesterday, he talked about how, we all have to get along and work together and not consider other people, other politicians our enemy. And that's the kind of talk that ends up in very large bipartisan bills passing in places like D.C. and Jefferson City that allow the government size to continue to grow. And unfortunately, at the federal level, our government deficits to get greater and greater and greater. It's not how you if you are of the belief that government has some serious problems that it needs to change dramatically. That's not the message that he's sending in his inaugural address.
Yeah, I looked up on the stage yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, Cindy O'Loughlin was the one who gaveled it in the session, which they have to do a joint session in order to do the inauguration. And there was John Patterson, who just got voted in as speaker, sitting beside her. I mean, I don't know what Patterson's role was last year, but he was being groomed for that position. Cindy O'Loughlin obviously was second in command to Caleb Rowden. These were the people that didn't get IP reform done last year, and they're in charge this year.
Yeah, we in your listening audience in the St. Louis area, we just have to realize that all of St. Louis City, St. Louis County, this power base, Republican power base in mid-Missouri doesn't care anything about those people. Like they'll say that they do. That's where the money is. That's where the corporate interests are. That's where a lot of lobbyists come from. But they really don't care about that. You know, it's interesting that it's in places like St. Charles County and Franklin County and Jefferson County. You're a listening audience where you've got people are the most politically active. They're most concerned about how state government is being run. But we're not in power in Jefferson City, and those that are in power don't think very highly of our opinions.
Yeah.
And they just want to go about and run government as if St. Louis doesn't really exist and that the center of the state is in Columbia and Jeff City. And as far as the political power is concerned, that's where the center of the state is, and that's where the power resides. I don't see how this is going to change. Mike's a very good salesman. I think yesterday was the first day of what will ultimately be an 8-year period of Kehoe. And I know a lot of people that are behind the scenes working hard to try to get him to focus on things like reduction of the income tax. But the problem with reducing the income tax is it has the opportunity to reduce the size of government. And people like the Blunts have never resided over a period of time where government didn't grow substantially. The more money that's in it, and there's the more money there is to go take from it.
Yeah.
And people like the Blunt family are very good at doing just that.
One of the other things I was I was happy to see done was several Republican lawmakers, they filed legislation that would basically restrict abortion. Now, I know that had been pre-filed, but it was more than a dozen, I think, that they did yesterday. I mean, do we feel like that's going to get any traction? Like, for one of them, for example, was defining reproductive rights, because that was just so vague in Amendment 3.
Yeah, everything that I'm picking up from the pro-life community and legislators that are doing this type of filing is we're kind of back to where we were maybe 10 or 15 years ago, where or even earlier, longer than that, in the era of Roe v. Wade, where what we tried to do every year was just make very small gains and make progress slowly over time. Ironically enough, waiting for Roe v. Wade to be overturned. But now we're in the world of Amendment 3. Until we can reverse Amendment 3, it's doing just things like that, like making it that much harder for abortion to take place in the state. But it's going to be a long grind, and it won't, again, it won't be a priority of leadership or the governor. They look at that issue now as somewhat settled. I know the incoming speaker said just that once that Amendment 3 had passed, that this people will have spoken. And it's funny because it takes a lot of political courage to stand up against a ballot initiative's results. The three of us and your listeners know that most ballot initiatives are successful primarily because of the money that goes into them. It's not a fair fight. And besides, we're a representative government. We're not a democracy, 50% plus one. And when you look back at all the big issues that the ballot initiatives took place, most, if not all, of our leaders went along with whatever the vote was and didn't decide to fight against it, and which is unfortunate. But that's what's going to happen on the pro-life side. I think it's going to be a long slog.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. John, thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, great to be with you both.
Yep, talk to you soon. Former Senator John Lamping there with some insight and some observations on the big inauguration yesterday in Jeff City. All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.